Are we having, oh, is this recording? Recording?
Yeah, I should just make sure I don't have the old video there still. I think I deleted it this time, yes I did.
There were two parts then, that's there.
Yes, that's right. Okay. So you'll check it from time to time, make sure that I'm visible.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I should have stopped it. Wait, did you start it before?
No, I didn't start, I don't think. Or did I? Maybe I did, I don't know. Or go back farther? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then start.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so as per usual, we'll start with one round of Surya Namaskar. Okay, so just go at your own pace. And then 30 seconds of Shavasana afterwards. You can begin. And then Shavasana when you finish. Okay. Get out. Can change the focus a bit. recording, right?
Yep.
Okay. I put mine on it.
Oh, the other one is also on the drive?
No, just my car, I think. Okay.
Yeah. Rini can take one of the cars, she has to go for that.
Okay, do I need to move it?
If she can, there is space probably there. If there's one
more, okay. Then she okay, well, you can just let me know. Yeah. So this month we're doing lessons 23 and 24 from this book. But before we get to get that, I just wanted to talk about some of the, like a very minimum practice that I do. So some days you wake up, you have no time whatsoever, you're in a very big rush, but there's still a minimum set of practices that I try to do every single day, right? So Surya Namaskar is one, so I'll do at least one round of Surya Namaskar. You know, you can do it quickly even, it's fine. Again, try to synchronize your breathing so you just breathe a little bit more quickly when you do it fast. Yeah, Surya Namaskar, you know, exercises pretty much the whole body, right? The only thing I find it's missing is that there's no twisting of the spine, right? So usually I also do a twist of the spine, right? So again, in the beginner course I covered all the different types of spinal twists. So you can choose which one you're able to do. And just do a twist of the spine. Right? Other direction. So now, physically, between Surya Namaskar and just a twist of the spine, you're pretty much done. You know, you pretty much stretched all every muscle in your body almost. So the only other one to do is, you know, something for the internal organs, right? So I showed you 2 months ago Nali, right? So I'll just demonstrate it again. I wasn't quite happy with the way the video came out, so I'll just see if we can get a better shot with the camera today, right? So you can bring the camera here. Know how to disconnect it? Just disconnect from take it off the tripod here. Yeah. Actually, we'll need a. Oh, there's a plug over here. You just have to stop it. You just stop it.
And then take it.
Isn't it? And then we'll switch it off too.
Oh, I'm going to switch it off.
Yeah. Okay, and then we'll plug it.
Oh, yeah, I thought it didn't go as far there.
Yeah, I use that plug over there.
Okay, and then. Take it out is
this
way.
That's right.
There you go.
So you're gonna have to go hold it and line it up on my stomach there.
Okay. That means it's gonna be capped basically. You can do it like this then.
And no, I was thinking you actually put the camera down here, right? So we could flip this thing, right? So you can see. That's right, flip that up so you can see.
Right, this has to be like this then.
Yeah, so you can turn it back on there. Okay, so. Okay, you guys, you can see that now?
See, it should be a little bit more zoomed out. It's quite visible now.
Mm-hmm, right? So,
yeah.
Okay, you think so? It's good?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, so you can start recording? Recording?
Yeah.
Okay. So hopefully you can get a good view of Nali this time. And I'll demonstrate. So you exhale completely, and then you just control the individual muscles here and here, right? So I'll do it very slowly. Again, normally you wouldn't practice slowly, but slowly to get you an idea so you can, you know, familiarize yourself with the different muscles. So I'll just show you that first slowly. Okay, so there. Hopefully, you got a good shot on camera now.
Right. See, it's very hard. Like I just do the regular one, which we learned a long time back.
Right.
It's very hard to control these individual muscles. Is there a trick to do it, or just like
you just can isolate the front?
Yeah.
But okay. I cannot move from side to side.
Yeah. Okay.
No, just
those.
That's right. Yeah.
You'll just be sitting.
Yeah, for a little while, yeah.
Okay.
Mhm. Okay, so hopefully you got a clearer view of what Nali's all about. And again, basically it just takes practice, right? To isolate the different muscles here to do that. But again, it's the absolute best practice for just, when you pull the diaphragm up, it massages the heart and the lungs and all of these organs, the gallbladder, the liver, the stomach, the intestines, the kidneys, everything gets massaged here. All of the organs of the body, you squeeze out all of the stale blood and fresh blood comes in and they all get rejuvenated essentially. So again, I highly recommend, that practice as well. So those are the three. No matter how much, if I have zero time, I'll do at least those three things. Surya Namaskar, spinal twist, back and forth, and then Nali. And you're pretty much good to go. The other actually thing about Nali, interesting, is because you're doing breath retention at the same time, you're holding your breath out. What I find that the effect that has is that when I'm finished doing Nali, I have equal flow on both my nostrils as well. So you've actually balanced, Ida and Pingala, just like what Nadi Shodhana does as well. So you get that benefit too. So it's almost a complete practice, just those three things. So anyways, let's make sure I do that every day. So again, on to lesson 23 and 24 in this book. So again, they talk about the balance of life, and again, Ida and Pingala, the importance of those. Again, Nadi Shodhana is the main practice for balancing Ida and Pingala balance. And they give some other techniques, but basically, Nadi Shodhana that I've already shown you will do the trick. 23, they do Vishuddhi Chakra, so the throat chakra. So this month we will also be doing Vishuddhi Chakra. And again, I'll discuss it once we get to the other book. I'll discuss it more in more detail. They still keep giving a japa japa. Again, this one is mainly used for the heart chakra, which we learned to last month. But you can also use it actually because you move the breath from the navel all the way to the throat and then back again, it actually can awaken all three chakras. So this book kind of uses it to awaken all three, Manipura, Anahata, and Vishuddhi, a japa japa, right? But that book actually gives some other practices, which I think are better, in fact, more focused, right? And that's pretty much it for lesson 23. 24. Discussion of different healing systems. You know, again, just for interest's sake. Ajna Chakra. So again, this book is a bit odd because they give you the practices for Ajna Chakra right in the beginner lessons. If you've seen the beginner course, I talk about Anulom Vilom meditation, Tratak meditation, and those are for awakening Ajna Chakra. But they don't actually explain what Ajna Chakra is until almost the end of the book. So then they kind of revisit those same practices, right? Tratak, Shambhavi Mudra, that's another one for awakening Ajna Chakra. And they have you kind of repeat those. Again, it's not necessary. It's kind of a little bit out of order again, right? Basically, awaken Ajna Chakra is the first chakra you should awaken before you begin doing all the other chakras, which is, what the beginner class teaches you and what the other book, what this book teaches you. So asanas. So I think this is the next asana we're going to learn is halasana, the plow pose, right? So maybe to adjust the camera a bit, I'll slide my mat around.
You will not be standing up, you will just be...
I'll be lying down, yes.
Yeah.
Right, so like that, and then my feet will go back there.
Okay, I'll just join. Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, so the plow pose is it's similar to shoulder stand, except you take your feet all the way back and touch your toes behind your head, right? I think most people are fairly familiar with it. Again, if you think you're able, you can give it a try. It's pretty straightforward. So, so you lie flat on your back. Relax for a second. Keeping your legs straight, you raise them up over your head. Okay, so just like that. You take them all the way over. Right, and the idea here is to bring your toes down and touch them behind your head, right? So keep going until your toes come and touch behind your head. And that's the basic posture, right? There's a couple of variations to it which are quite good. So the first variation is to actually see how far away you can move your toes. So keep your toes on the ground and keep moving them away from your body as far as you can, right? And actually, you can even point your toes away from your body to get an extra stretch and just push them out as far as you can. And hold. Okay, and come back. And the other variation is to now bring your toes as close to your head as you can. Right, and what you can do is you can actually use your hands to kind of pull them in, keeping your knees straight, and just bring them in as much close as you can. Right, and that's about it. And then you can just come out of it whenever you're done. Right,
it's the same thing.
And that's pretty much it. Again, you should do the counter pose. Right, so I'll just do a very simple fish counter pose. Right, which is to just bend your head backwards. And then relax. Okay. And that's the plow pose. Can you get over? No.
I think it must be fine for sure because I zoomed out.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I was trying to do it, and I cannot do it by putting my hands down here.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to do it, and I just twisted my muscle.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
And then I... Whatever, just do it till my shoulders stand, and then...
Right.
Try and lead
So that's the flower pose. Pranayama, they just say, they basically say it's done at this point, right? Last month we introduced the Uddiyana Band with Nadi Shodhana. And again, that's, pretty much the complete practice. And, that's fairly advanced practice as well, which they say. And probably need to practice that another month before we add anything else. So we can just do that for like a couple of minutes. Whatever level you're at, Nadi Shodhana. Mm-hmm. Oh, so meditative posture. Okay, back straight. So again, usually I do one or two rounds of without any breath retention, and then after that you can add breath retention. And again, you can you can start off with like a low breath retention and then work to a higher one. Usually I find it's better to just start with a high one, whatever you're trying to go for first. And then if you realize that you can't maintain it, then you go to a little lower breath retention later on for subsequent rounds. Again, the key thing is to maintain control and never to end up out of breath, right? Okay, so you can give it a try. You can finish your last round. Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, a japa japa. So that's the end of lesson 24. And actually, that's the end of the advanced practices for this book. The third book is called Kriya Yoga, but actually they cover a lot more than just Kriya Yoga in the last part of the book. They still continue with more pranayama techniques, more asanas. So we'll following months, coming months, we still have 2 more months to go. We'll continue to go through this book and do the asanas and the pranayama techniques, right? And then after the next 2 months, then after that I'll have a course on the actual Kriya Yoga techniques, right? So that's it for this book. Now this one. So Vishuddhi Chakra. So we had discussed, gave a brief discussion of each of the chakras, right? So Vishuddhi Chakra, the main aspect of this chakra is to understand, to have a deep, profound understanding that everything happens for the best, right? That's a common saying, and it's for the best, right? So things when Vishuddhi Chakra awakens, you really, truly understand that literally everything, no matter what it is, right? Absolutely everything that happens in your life, Basically, it works towards evolving your soul, advancing your soul, advancing your personal knowledge, your personal experience, and moves you forward towards understanding the whole truth about life and about everything, right? So you no longer feel that if something bad happens, you no longer think of it negatively at all. You realize that it's all part of your own learning and development, and it actually is going to make you a better person by overcoming whatever challenge you've been presented with, right? So you view everything positively, no matter what it is, right? That's the main aspect of Vishuddhi. So the other interesting thing about Vishuddhi is they call it the nectar and poison center, right? So so next month we're going to learn about another spiritual center at the top of the back of the head called Bindu. And what they say is from Bindu, a divine fluid drops down to so if you look in the roof of the mouth, there's the hard palate and then the soft palate, and then behind the soft palate up into the navel cavity, just close to the back of the head, there's a chakra there called Lalana Chakra, right? So this divine fluid that comes from Bindu, it drops down and it collects in Lalana Chakra, and at that point, it's still neither nectar or poison, right? What usually happens is that if Vishuddhi is not awakened, it's inactive, this nectar will then will drop down to Manapura, where it gets consumed in Manapura, and basically it results in decay, degeneration, old age, disease and death eventually, right? But they say, however, by certain practices, if you awaken Vishuddhi Chakra here, the fluid is retained and utilized, becoming the nectar of immortality, right? So the secret of youth and regeneration of the body lies in the awakening of Vishuddhi, right? So so basically you reverse the aging process, you stop aging, essentially your body stays youthful, you stay healthy, right? Again, immortality, essentially, right?
But Vishuddhi Chakra, the degree of openness of Vishuddhi Chakra is dependent on the person. Some people may have it open already a little bit.
But again, these
practices... The whole chakras, it's not binary. It's
exactly.
It's a fuzzy logic there.
Exactly, yes, that's right. They can be... and again, they also close, too. They open and then they close, too, right?
Okay.
So you can open it and then close it. So again, I'll tell you about that, too, right? So... explains what kind of spiritual experiences you might have, right? So associated with Vishuddhi is a particular nerve channel known as Kurma Nadi, or the tortoise nadi. When it is awakened, the practitioner is able to completely overcome the desire and necessity for food and drink, right? So again, this capacity has been demonstrated by yogis in the past, right? So so my own experience, I had an interesting experience in 2008. You know, so I was doing my practices very seriously in January and February. And in March, I had an experience where I didn't eat for 3 days. So normally, you know, I mean, if I miss even one meal, I have quite a strong appetite normally, right? If I miss even one meal, I'm like starving by the time the next meal comes around. If I go for like a whole day, like 24 hours without eating, the next day I'm like, you know, I can't even get out of bed. I'm like weak. I'm like, I've got extreme pain in my abdominal area from like just severe hunger pain, right? But in this case, I felt full. I felt satisfied. For 3 days I didn't eat. It was just, I couldn't believe it. So yeah, normally when, again, I hadn't read this stuff, I was following these practices in there actually. I was still working my way through that book. I actually didn't know that this was associated with Vishuddhi awakening type of experience, right? Until reading this. So, you know, usually when something weird happens, I stop my practices. And, you know, like I said, within 3 days, my appetite came back and I was able to eat again. I couldn't even eat. In fact, I tried to eat something and I couldn't even swallow it. I felt, you know, just felt. It was a very strange experience, actually. So, I stopped my practices and after 3 days, I came, got my appetite back and I was eating normally again. But basically, you know, based on reading this, it was probably a Vishuddhi awakening experience I had. Alright, so yeah. Other than that, so that's about it for Vishuddhi.
How do you awaken it now?
That's right, so now we'll get to the practices. So
that means it's a good way of dieting, basically.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. So there's like, in Autobiography of a Yogi, for example, right? There's a 300-pound yogi, right? You know, who doesn't eat, right? But yet, he maintains his huge, massive 300 pounds, right? You know, so, you know. it has no relation, in fact, right? Almost.
That means the air is able from, he's just breathing air and water, drinking water.
I don't think he's been drinking water, right?
And still able to maintain.
Yeah. Actually, there's a guy who was on CNN recently, right? They have some yogi on CNN who was studied by doctors in India, right? I have a link. I can send you the link. Again, this guy, you know, people think it's a hoax, right? And, you know, and it's hard to say for sure, right?
Yeah, unless you have put them in observation.
Yeah, no, like they did. That's what they did, exactly. They put them in observation. They had cameras on him all the time, right? 24 hours a day. And he's not eating, right? Whenever he bathes and stuff, right? So they make sure this much water goes in, he bathes, they collect the water that he bathed with and take it out and they measure it to make sure there's no difference. And so, and they have cameras on him 24 hours a day, right? So they said, yeah, he's not eating or drinking anything.
Is it online right now? Like, Is it real life?
Yeah, you can see it. You can see the whole CNN footage on YouTube, whatever. I'll send you the link. Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's interesting. Again, you know.
And the person is not losing any weight or anything.
Yeah, no, he's not losing any weight or anything. Yeah, he's been doing, again, he hasn't eaten in a long time. In Autobiography of a Yogi, actually, there's like many people in that book who haven't eaten for like, you know, decades, right? They stopped eating when they're 20 or 30, and now they're like 50 and 60, and they haven't eaten or drank anything their whole life almost, you know? So again, that's.
They're not losing or gaining weight.
And they're not losing or gaining weight either, yes. Yeah, that too, right? Again, gaining or losing weight, again, you kind of have a disposition, right? Again, if you read the Ayurveda, actually, since I have it here, I might as well mention this as well. This is my favorite book on Ayurveda, right? The complete book of Ayurvedic home remedies by Vasant Ladd, right? Deepak Chopra even gives it a good review. Deepak Chopra's, all his books are also good. I've read his books too, but I like this one a little bit better. So again, basically there's three body types, say Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. So Kapha, you're just naturally big, right? Almost no matter what you do, you're big. And Vata, the same thing. You're skinny. No matter almost what you do, you're skinny, right? I mean, like I said, people are shocked when they see how much food I eat, right? They see how much, you know, giant amount of rice and dal I eat at lunchtime, right? And giant amount and all the nuts and raisins I eat during the day. I mean, I'm eating, and I have a big bowl of porridge in the morning, and I have like fruits all day long, right, as well, and nuts and raisins and everything else, right? I mean, I'm eating constantly, right? But I just don't gain any weight, right? You know, and plus I eat lots of sweets too. I love sweets. I eat like rasgullas and gulab jamuns and like halwa and like tons of sweets. I put tons of brown sugar in my porridge. I eat lots of like, you know, honey and my, you know, muffins. I mean, syrup on my pancakes. I mean, I eat tons of sugar and sweets, right? But I just do not gain any weight.
And that's your body type.
And that's my body type, exactly.
And that body type is determined in childhood itself or when you were born.
Pretty much when you're born, yes, you're born with it, right? So other people though, kapha types, right? You know, they just have to look at food and they gain weight, right?
And how do you determine this? A way of determining what
body type? Yes, that's right, exactly. So there's a test he gives in the beginning of this book, like a test. So you just got to fill in, what are your characteristics, right? So you know,
it's not like a blood test.
No. It's all different body characteristics. You can identify what type of person he is, right? So there's certain other traits, right, that go with, you know, Kappa body type, so they're very, you know, they're like, you know, they're miserly with their money, for example, right? Kappa types also tend to be very conservative with their spending, right? They don't like spend on frivolous things, right? Whereas Vata type will tend to spend their money without caring too much about it, right? And Pitta is the other body type. They like to spend on luxuries. They like, you know, the best, they buy the best stuff, right? Vata will tend to waste their money on all kinds of things. Pitta, you know, they'll do a lot of research and make sure they get the best stuff. They spend their money on the best things you can buy. And Kappas will save their money. They'll invest it, you know, they'll like continue to grow their wealth, right? Build their asset base kind of thing, right? So those are kind of the three. I mean, again, from body type, you know, Vatas are slim, Pittas are kind of, you know, medium built, and Kappas are big, right? And again, there's other qualities that go along with that. So sometimes a Pitta might get overweight, right? Or even, I mean, it's possible for a Vata to be overweight. I mean, I was too, right? I mean, I did get overweight at one point. If you eat like all junk food, right? If you eat potato chips and donuts only, right? Even I will gain weight. If I have a diet of 100% donuts and potato chips and soda pop, even I will gain weight, okay? And I get very sick, and I was very sick. I mean, I did live in the late 90s, I mean, that's all I ate, right? I used to eat just only potato chips continuously during the day and donuts and drink pop, right? And I got very sick, right? And I gained a lot of weight. I mean, I was huge. I mean, my waist was like, you know, I had like 6 inches more of waist, about 34 inches. I'm 28 inch weight, and then I was like 34 inch waist, right? A nice, really big pop belly, right? And big, you know, big face and everything, right? And I was very sick all the time. I mean, I was taking sick days every single month. I was sick with something, right? So so again, this book will help you, every type can get out of balance, and then this book will tell you what to do to get into balance, right? So, it's again, very worthwhile to look into it.
But you cannot change from one body type to another type.
That's right, no.
But you can control it and...
That's right, so you know, if you're a Vata type and you try to make yourself a Kappa type against your nature, you'll be sick. Right? If you're a Kappa type, you try to, against your nature, make yourself too skinny, you'll also become sick, right? So you have to understand what your body type is, and then try to align yourself with that body type, and you'll be very healthy then. The idea is to be healthy. It's not about being skinny or being fat, right? It's about being healthy, right? You want to have perfect health.
And you can be healthy, right? Neither fat.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. You can actually be perfectly healthy skinny or perfectly healthy fat, if that aligns with your whole constitution overall, right? Again, here in the West, they have this concept of that everybody should be a certain, you know, one way only is healthy, but no, that's not true. So, anyways, let's get on with the practice. I think that's enough of Ayurveda. So the practices, again, you'll be familiar with all these practices because they're introduced very early on in this book, right? So again, that's why I hadn't even gotten to the practices for Vishuddhi here. But like I said, I had an experience going halfway through the practices, because like, you know, Jaladhara Bandh, the neck lock, is one of the practices for awakening Vishuddhi, right? So again, you should probably spend, you know, to awaken Vishuddhi, in addition to Nadi Shodhana, you can do it once more, right? During just focusing specifically on Vishuddhi, and this particular practice. So the way this one works, again, it's similar to Nadi Shodhana, except you don't do the alternate nostril breathing, but inhale fully, right? And then just lock. So keep your back straight. Bring your head down and try to bring your chin as close as you can to your chest while holding the breath in. So inhale fully. Release and then exhale, right? So then you can, you know, do that for like 15 seconds or 30 seconds, up to 30 seconds maximum, kind of like we do Nadi Shodhana, right? Same type of thing. And then exhale fully. And again. And relax and inhale. So when you exhale fully and you hold the breath out and do it, do it for about 10 seconds or so. Again, similar to Nadi Shodhana, we do it for 8 seconds there. And then again, inhale. And then again, hold it in. And you keep repeating. You know, so do that for about 5 minutes, you know, with an inhale, exhale, and apply each time, right? The next 3 practices actually go together, right? Kichari Mudra, Ujjayi Pranayam, and Vishuddhi and Shastram, location and purification. So
Vishuddhi Chakra is just behind this.
That's right. So first thing is actually know the location. So again, it's, you know, no one gives a concrete answer, right? Everybody kind of says, yeah, it's in the neck area, right? But from my own experience, I can kind of try to give you a little bit better explanation. So it's near the Adam's apple for sure. A little bit below. It's definitely below the Adam's apple. It's not above the Adam's apple. It's below the Adam's apple, right? And the base of the neck. It's in this area here, right? For sure. I would say when you bend your neck, right? Where your neck bends, actually, I believe that is exactly where it is. It's right at the point where your neck bends, right? Yeah. So just in fact below. Just below the Adam's apple, right? Again, women don't have an Adam's apple, so they have to kind of just right where your neck bends. You know, right there, right? That's where it seems to be for me, where I feel it, right? Again, everyone's different, right? I mean, I have a little bit of a hunch here, so it's not quite. So they say it's usually directly behind that, right? But because my neck is kind of like, you know, not straight up. it's not there. Again, I would say it's the same thing. You just bend your neck back, right? Wherever your neck bends, right? It's right there where your neck is bending, right? So, again, from front and from the back, you can kind of get an idea of where it is. So the practices are Kichari Mudra. So Kichari Mudra was also introduced in the beginning practices over here. The idea actually with Kichari Mudra is to take the tip of your tongue and to touch it where Lalana Chakra is. Remember I was telling you, just at the back of the nasal cavity? So again, you have to... if you go to an... If you really want to do that seriously, right, you can actually... People cut their tongue. Right? They cut their tongue from underneath such that they can push it all the way back, the tip. And send it all the way back. You know, it goes against the hard palate, then the soft palate, then behind the soft palate, up into the nasal cavity and against the back of the nasal cavity right there where the Lalana Chakra is, right? So, again, that will also, it helps this whole, you know, flow of the nectar from Bindu to Lalana to Vishuddhi, right? It closes that circuit, essentially. But as close as you can get, for the practices in this book and what's all required for here, you just have to flip your tongue up and back, right? And just kind of push it back as far as you can. Just against the soft palate is pretty much good enough, right? As long as the tip of your tongue is, you know, somewhere back against the soft palate, that's good. So then you hold it there, right? You curl up and back, and then you hold it. So what I find is that, again, you have to use your muscles on your tongue to hold it there. But I find after about a minute, if you hold it for about a minute, your tongue will actually kind of stick to the palate. And then you can kind of relax your muscles slightly and keep holding in the same spot. So that's the first practice. So again, just hold it for like about a minute till it kind of sticks and you can kind of relax your muscles a bit. And then you can do the second practice, which is Ujjayi Pranayam. Right? So Ujjayi Pranayam, I also described before, that's the, they call it the psychic breath, or some people call it the ocean breath. Again, what you do is you contract the muscles in your throat, right? So the same contraction you do when you whisper. So when you whisper like this, you do the same contraction in the throat. When you whisper. So maintain the whisper contraction and then breathe. When you breathe in that state, you'll hear a slight wheezing noise, right? Right? So that's Ujjayi Pranayam. So you do Kacheri Mudra, hold that for about a minute. After about a minute, start doing Ujjayi Pranayam. Do Ujjayi Pranayam for like another minute or so, and then you begin the actual meditation practice. So the other thing Kacheri Mudra does is when you do that with your tongue, you'll find you get a pressure right here in your throat, right? You'll feel a little bit of pressure from that when you do that. So it brings the concentration right to the shastram. So again, so now the meditation practice here is the same as it is for all the chakras, right? When you inhale, you imagine the breath is coming in through the shastram and going to the chakra at the back of the neck, right? When you exhale, it's coming from the back of the neck, the chakra in the back of the neck, and out through the shastram, right? So you can try that for like a few minutes. So Kacheri Mudra, Ujjayi Pranayam, and then you do this meditative breathing. Okay, so you can just try to
keep them all dry.
Yes, you do. You keep all three going together, right? Okay, you can give that a try. Okay, you can finish your last breath.
Breathing during those meditation techniques, full or normal?
Well, for this one, you know, not full, for sure not full. Not like Nadi Shodhana. Nadi Shodhana is really full, full, full. But these ones, you know, a little bit more emphasized. Not completely normal, but slightly emphasized breathing. So you inhale perhaps a little deeper than you normally would, and you exhale a little bit more fully than you normally would, right? But don't, no straining at all, right? Nadi Shodhana is a little bit more straining. So the final practice is, Viparita Karani Asana. So this is kind of like a shoulder stand, right? Except you don't fully go vertical, right? So I'll demonstrate so you can watch. So the other interesting thing about this particular asana is that this is one of the asanas used by the 20 Kundalini Kriyas. It's the first one, in fact. It's the first of the 20 Kriyas of Kriya Yoga. It uses this posture. So this is a very important one to learn if you eventually plan to practice Kriya Yoga. I'm on this camera, okay. So my feet will be up in the air, so you can just zoom out if required. So again, you start off lying on your back, same as always. And again, same thing, you bring your legs up, just like what you do for the shoulder stand. Right. And over here a bit, get your hips off the ground. So here now, you put your elbows together, kind of so they're in line with your shoulders. You bring your hands, so if you feel you've got like, there's a bone here on the side of your hips, where your hip bone is basically, right? So you bring your hands, and you support your hips with your hands, right? Keep your elbows together, keep your knees straight, and then you put your legs vertical, right? So I think that's about, is that about vertical?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and that's basically it, right? So again, if you try this posture, realize your concentration immediately goes to the chakra again, right? Both at the back, both the shastram and the chakra. Again, it's very interesting somehow that this posture just automatically just awakens those the chakra. You'll feel them immediately almost. So just maintain this posture, and you just breathe normally, right? So again, your arms might get tired a bit, right, if you're not used to this, right? So as soon as your arms start to ache or pain, because again, you're holding the weight of your legs on your arms basically now. So as soon as your arms start to pain, just come out of the posture. But the idea is that eventually you should be able to maintain it for about 5 to 10 minutes, right, without your arms getting tired. Again, you'll need to maintain it for about 5 to 10 minutes in order to do the first Kundalini Kriya. So just you close your eyes, relax, and breathe normally. And after whatever, 5 or 10 minutes, you just come out of it. Again, tip your legs back, you know, put your hands down and roll down. And then bring your legs back down. Right. And now relax in Shavasana for a few minutes. And you can also do the, if you feel like it, again, it's not necessary actually to do the simple fish, just to put your head back, but you don't have to for this posture. And that's about it. Yeah. So that's it for Vishuddhi Chakra. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're done for this month. See you next month. Mm-hmm.